Chapter 6, Gasping for Money, Exploring Business Models and Financing. Before you even know what kind of business entity you want to set up, think about how you will pay for the launch of your business and how it will earn money. Do you have enough money squirreled away for a rainy day so you can bootstrap your venture yourself? Do you plan to max out credit cards? Should you take out a loan? Or do you want to explore raising investments? Or pursue a combination of a loan and investment? Or do you want to try to convince family and friends to donate to a Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign? Capital contributions and loans. The ideal business model for founders who want complete control of the company is the bootstrap business, one in which a starting amount of money is enough to get the business up and running in a manner which yields quick and recurring income. If the founder of the company put in their own money to get the business started, this is called a capital contribution. If the business can quickly see profit, then the founders simply can have an attorney draft an agreement that establishes how reimbursement and profits are allocated. For instance, if both founders contribute equal amounts of equity, money, and sweat equity, work, then both founders would receive proceeds equally. However, if there is a disparity between the contributions of one founder and another, a contract can dictate the fair disbursement of revenue. It is often difficult for new business people to secure a bank loan for a new business, especially without collateral or a track record of success. Still, local banks and small business development centers may take a gamble on you. If so, pay close attention to the terms of the loan to make sure it is worth your while to start your business in debt. Donor-based crowdfunding. Donor-based crowdfunding has become a popular choice for creative entrepreneurs unsure of the size of units they will need or anticipate approaching a large swath of different investors. Each crowdfunding portal has a different set of rules for fundraising, and often you must provide your contributors with rewards in exchange for their funding. Kickstarter is the most famous of these companies, but Kickstarter requires the return of money if a threshold is not met. Other companies allow you to hold on to money raised, even if the goal amount has not been reached. But usually, you must pay a penalty for not reaching that goal amount. Here is a rundown of a few crowdfunding companies. Kickstarter projects must reach their goal for project creator to receive funds. Kickstarter is free to sign up, 5% fee of funds raised, plus Amazon payments processing fees. Indiegogo, on the other hand, allows you to get funds earned for projects, whether or not the project reaches its goal. Also, Indiegogo is now in the equity crowdfunding business, discussed below. Indiegogo charges a 4% fee to funds if the project reaches its goal, a 9% fee to funds if it does not, plus a 3% credit card processing fee and a $25 wire fee for non-US campaigns. RocketHub is a lesser-known crowdfunding site, which also allows you to get monies raised for a project, even if you don't reach your goal. It charges a 4% fee to funds if the project reaches its goal, an 8% fee to funds if it does not, plus a 4% credit card processing fee. Also, RocketHub has an affiliation with A&E Networks, which you may find useful. Private Investment and the Jobs Act of 2012. So, is there a downside to donation-based crowdfunding? A well-known story demonstrates backers' frustrations with this approach to raising money. A virtual reality product company, Oculus Rift, raised almost $2.5 million to help get the flagship VR headset launched. Then, Facebook went and bought the company for $2 billion. Some backers were upset that all they got was a headset rather than money. It is incumbent upon the entrepreneur raising money this way to clearly communicate that backers are donors, not investors. Clients and potential clients have told me on different occasions, I have my investors in place. My heart drops when I hear this, because it often means that a resourceful, creative, and often young entrepreneur has gone about fundraising improperly. The minute founders of a company seek outside investment, which is not the same as donation-based crowdfunding such as Kickstarter or Indiegogo, those founders are dealing with securities, exchangeable financial assets, and must conform to certain rules or face potentially painful penalties. A small business startup likely has no interest in registering with the SEC as a traditional publicly held company, preparing for a full-blown IPO. So unless that startup seeks investment solely in the state in which the company operates, purely intrastate commerce cannot be regulated by the SEC. The company must fill out an SEC exemption notice known as Form D, and any forms required in the state in which investment is sought. In New York, for example, a company seeking investment would fill out New York State's Form 99. Different states have different blue sky laws and regulations that dictate how to seek investment in that state. Even if all of the investors and the company itself were only in New York, for instance, an intrastate offering must register with New York prior to seeking investment. New York State General Business Law Section 359 FF begins by stating, "It is unlawful for any person, directly or indirectly, to offer or sell any security which is part of an issue offered and sold only to persons resident within the state, unless an offering prospectus which makes full and fair disclosure of all material facts is first filed by the issuer of such security with the Department of Law." The private offering that qualifies for the Regulation D SEC exemption comes in a number of choices, but the traditional route for investment in privately held startups is a Rule 506 offering. In the past, investment in private companies was limited to wealthy investors. Today, it is possible for less wealthy, non-accredited investors to invest in a private company, but there are several limitations, thresholds, and requirements for each Reg D exemption. A Rule 504 exemption allows for a private company to raise in a one-year span no more than $1 million from any investor without real financial disclosures. But state regulations and blue sky laws may make a 504 exemption financially onerous. A Rule 505 exemption increases the raise to $5 million, but will not allow more than 35 non-accredited investors to invest, and requires detailed financial and risk disclosures to those non-accredited investors. Again, Rule 505 may be subject to onerous blue sky laws. In 2013, Rule 506 split into 506B and 506C. Rule 506B allows for up to 35 non-accredited but self-identified as sophisticated investors, while 506C only allows for accredited investors, individual annual income of $200,000, or combined annual household income of $300,000, or net worth of $1 million. 506C allows for certain general solicitation and advertising. If there are non-accredited investors as part of a 506B offering, the offering paperwork must have full disclosures similar to those for a Securities Act registration statement, usually in the form of a detailed private placement memorandum. Founders of small businesses often think that the amount per person raised is a nagging issue when collecting money from friends and family. They often think more along the lines of, if I only have them invest $1,000 each, it's no big deal. The truth is, any amount of investment from outside investors without paying attention to state and federal laws can be disastrous. Donation-based crowdfunding can come with its liabilities too, including tax implications and civil litigation for failing to deliver on backers' rewards. But it is often a prudent option for those not willing to navigate statutory waters. Attorneys may be loath to advise clients about major recent changes in SEC policies. The tried and true rule 506B, offering to accredited investors only, is often regarded as the safer route. But startups, including the likes of larger independent media ventures, such as independent film and video games, ought to be excited by the possibilities of equity or regulation crowdfunding. Instead of Kickstarter-style donation in exchange for rewards, investors' money goes toward an equity investment, often called Title III, for a crowdfunded raise up to $1 million from accredited and non-accredited investors. Per Obama's Jobs, Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act of 2012, on October 30, 2015, the Securities and Exchange Commission adopted final rules for regulation crowdfunding, and they were fully implemented in May 2016. Equity crowdfunding has been around for a long time, but for accredited investors only. Now, non-accredited investors can participate too. There is also the mini IPO, Regulation A Tier 2, affectionately known as Reg A Plus or Title 4, for an up to $50 million capital raise, a reality created by the Jobs Act, which went into effect on June 19, 2015. This is an opportunity for small businesses to raise money publicly with a less stringent SEC approval process and investment allowed to non-accredited investors limited to the greater of 10% of their annual income or their net worth, excluding their principal residence. Unlike the original Regulation A, state blue sky laws are exempted by the SEC filing. At the 2015 Produced By conference in New York, I met the CEO of a Reg A Plus platform company I found intriguing. He sent me an email that said, "If you or someone you know are currently in need of raising $2 to $50 million, we would love to talk to you. Please reach out to my director of business development. She would be happy to hop on a call to answer any questions you have." So, even though Reg A Plus is a young option, it's clear that entrepreneurs are already on board for an entirely new approach to raising capital. The SEC consists of 5 presidentially appointed commissioners. One of them is designated by the president as chairman. By law, no more than 3 of the commissioners may belong to the same political party, ensuring nonpartisanship. But SEC rules and regulations can change with presidential administrations. Obviously, you should find out the current options available to you before engaging in the complex world of business investment. A few words about business plans. It is so common to hear that before you start working on a business, you should put together a business plan. There is a good reason for the popularity of a business plan. It provides a framework for you to follow when swimming against a current of overwhelm and confusion. Business plans differ from business to business, and they are not technically necessary to the launch of a business. But I have never heard a founder or entrepreneur regret putting one together. When putting together a business plan, have an idea of who the founders of this enterprise will be. Think about, are you going to go it alone or try to build a team of founders? What will be your goals? Where will your money come from? Your business model. How will you earn money? Who will use your product or service? Your customer. Who will give you money? What vendors will you need to build a relationship with? Who will help you grow your enterprise? A business plan is a marketing document, but it can also be subsumed into a legal prospectus. At the very least, your business plan should have a summary and description of the business, biographies of the management team, a breakdown of the competitors in your space, trends as reported by relevant publications, your avatar customer, any financial disclosures related to past performance, budget, forecasts, and schedules. Guy Kawasaki, former chief evangelist for Apple and CEO of Canva, has a legendary approach to a pitch deck presentation, which is an abridged version of a business plan. He calls it the 10-20-30 rule, and it's simple. A pitch deck presented to the potential investors should be no more than 10 pages/slides, take no more than 20 minutes to present, and the text should be no smaller than 30-point font. A more robust business plan can be supplemented with useful and relevant articles and charts, but would be wise to take its cue from Kawasaki's ideal pitch deck. The first 10 pages usually sell the whole package. Make those pages count.